First of all, I'd like us to see from this passage that sincere faith needs to be strengthened. None of us have perfect faith like the Lord Jesus. His Spirit is in you and in I and every believer who has professed faith in Him. But our faith needs to be strengthened. How is it strengthened? You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. His grace is enough. His grace is enough. Well, how do I get more grace in my life? How do I get strengthened with this grace? I don't feel so strong in the faith, and I really don't know how to get back on. I try and try again, and it just doesn't seem to work. How do I get, what does this all mean? Well, a verse of scripture that a cross-reference I'll share with you from Titus 2, verse 11 through 14. I would say in the last 10 years, this verse has meant more to me than I guess in any other passage. Listen to what it says. For the grace of God, remember we want to get our faith strengthened, sincere faith needs to be strengthened. How's it? Through the grace that's found in Christ Jesus. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Irrespective of what country we come from, ethnic background, whether we're wealthy, poor, whether we're rich or poor, whatever it is, whether we're degrees or no education, it doesn't matter. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. And it teaches us to say no. But it also teaches us to say yes. Say no to what? Ungodliness and worldly passions. But it teaches us to say yes to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we're waiting, okay? We're waiting for something. We're waiting for this return of Christ. Hallelujah, we sang about it. You know, He's coming back. We believe in it. He's coming again. We believe that. We sang that. And what great songs. They really fit with today's passages. Thank you, worship team. It's good stuff. Who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. I don't do good to get God's favor. Those of you who have been coming to DBICC for a good many years, you know I always point it. There's two errors we can do. We can try to earn God's love by doing good things. God's bound to love me more because I'm going to Chengdu on a mission trip. No. This mission trip to Chengdu, it's just a waste of time. I'm just going to stay back and watch football. No. Jesus Christ died on the cross for me and was raised from the dead. So I can have eternal life. My life now belongs to Him, and everything I'm going to do, I'm eager to do these good works. Why? Because I want to say thank you, Jesus. So it's called grace commitments, if you will, or grace responding. And the grace is what strengthens me. Now, if you feel like there's too many habitual sins in your life, you can't overcome them, just go back to grace. This is how you get filled up with the Holy Spirit again. Confess your sins. Just be honest with God. You know, I have a problem with anger. I have a problem with coveting. I have a problem with lust. Those kind of words, they can just go escape, okay? Let's say I get in too many fights with my wife and my kids. I lose it at work. I yell at my employees. And you do it over and over again. It doesn't matter. You just keep going back for what? Grace. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. It's His free gift to you of forgiveness. He doesn't wait and say, you straighten up and quit sinning, then I'll die for you. No, while we were yet sinners, He died for us. And we've got to quit pretending that we don't have sin problems. When we have sin problems, we bring them right to Christ and we said, forgive me. I yelled at my... Forgive me, I lusted over this person. Forgive me, I go out spending money like it's... Then the Holy Spirit fills you up. You're confessed up. The vessel is clean. And you ask for Holy Spirit to come and indwell you and enable you to walk with Christ. And to be grace committed in how you use your lips. How you use your money, how you use your eyes. For the grace of God will keep teaching you and teaching you and teaching you to where you will not find, try to find joy, satisfaction from these things that are apart from Christ himself. Paul, in another passage in 1 Corinthians 15, says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is within me." Now, if a person's really walking in the Spirit of God and they're doing a lot of things, a lot of ministry, a lot of helping and caring, it's the grace of God in them. It's not their own strength. As Paul said, remember, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Just humble yourself before the Lord. So you and I remain strong by prayerfully asking for the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We want to be strong faith, sincere faith, true faith. We seek strength from God. But sincere faith is to be shared. You then, my child, I don't know if somebody called me my child, how I would feel. I mean, you know, hey, Ben, my child, you know. Probably wouldn't get into that. But what he's trying to say is he's very, very caring toward Timothy. They have a special mentor relationship, we might say today, that's a little more sterile. But my son, my child, be strengthened by the grace of Christ Jesus. And what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So sincere faith is to be shared. First of all, we must delegate this faith to who? Our children, okay? So we teach them. We teach them what it means to love Jesus, to follow Jesus. Not to try to earn his love, but to respond to his love, to be a people of grace, how to go to God over and over again for forgiveness. And the grace of God will teach them how to say no to ungodliness and worldliness, but to live upright and solid lives while they await the appearing of Jesus. So we do that first with our children, but we also do it with others, with other people, men and women. We do that. I was going over a list, this is just a short list I wrote down, of peoples, ministers of the Gospels, whose recordings and writings have impacted my life. And some of them were many centuries ago, and some of them are not too long ago. John Calvin, Martin Luther, you ever read any of their stuff? Good stuff, guys. Richard Baxter, John Bunyan, a couple of Puritans. Then I move up to a little bit to the 19th century. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, Dwight Moody, James Hudson Taylor, J.O. Frazier, G. Campbell Morton, Martin Lloyd-Jones, John Stott. Well, hold on. Martin Lloyd-Jones, I started there. If you listen to that list, if you know them, many of those are Brits. So, okay. British influence, all right? And me. Then there's John Stott, James Montgomery Boyce, J. Vernon McGee, Manfred George Gutsky, J. O. Sanders. These are people's readings and writings and sermons. You know, they've benefited me and millions of others. Passing on the faith. I could tell you about Arthur Allen, P.T. Chandapilla, Bill Larkin. These are people who were involved in my life personally. Who entrusted words that had been entrusted to them, entrusted to me, they taught me. You know what one thing all these people have in common? They're no longer on the planet. They're in heaven. So this is just not the work of a pastor. It's an important work of the pastor. But all of us as believers are called to go and make disciples. And your impact, whether it's in a girls' club, whether it's teaching junior kids' church, or in the home having family devotions, you're very important to entrust the faith to others so that they may one day teach others. You never know. Sincere faith is tough. I remember Phil Stein. He was another one I didn't put on my list, but I could tell you about. Phil taught missions. He was South African, Phil Stein. And I remember he had the South African accent. And we're in the South, United States, and where people talk like this, but you heard a proper South African Neil, you want to help me out? What South African sounds like? But anyway, it's really really a refreshing change from deep Southern accent. But Phil would always say, "You want to be involved in missions? I want to tell you, missions is tough." And he would spit, you know, spew everywhere. Tough. And sincere faith is tough. Now, what do I mean by that? Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. And it's a hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. And think over what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Think over what I'm saying, the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Now, I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of soldier, athlete, and the third one, a farmer. I got some photos I'm going to flip up there. But the soldier here doesn't get entangled in civilian affairs. How many of you are ex-soldiers or Air Force, Navy? Anybody out there? I know Robbie was Marines, and there's an Air Force gal. But I don't remember anybody in the armed services having an outside job, you know? It was full time working for the armed services, but you don't get entangled in civil pursuits. And the athlete here in that day and time, there was only one rule for competing in the games, the Olympic Games. You know what that was? That you just signed a piece of paper that I will practice for 10 months. That I have practiced for 10 months. That's all you had to do, you know. No dope testing, anything like that. You know, just whoop. I'm going to work hard out. I'm going to work out for 10 months and go into the games. Okay, the hardworking farmer. How many of you think farming is hard? Okay, I think there's a good many of you are with me. You know, if you've ever done it, you know it's hard. And I have memories of my North Carolina relatives. Their major crop was tobacco. And they would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and when it was time to, they had this thing called sucker tobacco. Does anybody know what that means? It's this little plant, a little flower that grows at the top of the tobacco plant, and you have to take that out and get rid of it so to make the plant grow large and the leaf longer. And then they get up early in the morning and do that, and then you have to go out and cut the leaves off, hang them in a barn to dry, and all that. I helped one summer. I went out at 5 a.m. with the adults. By 6 a.m., I was back in the house. I changed clothes, went back. And 7 o'clock, I came back to the house, changed clothes, and went back. I'm only 6 years old, so I'm not too bright. No one told me that you have to get really dirty and sticky and mucky when you farm. I thought I had to shower up and be fresh all day. So I changed clothes about 3 times, and they just had a big kick out of that. They knew I didn't know nothing about farming. But okay, you got to work hard. And it's not just one day. It's the whole season. You know, you plant, take care of the plants, all that. So anyway, farm's hard work. I don't need to convince you if you've ever done it. Okay, good soldier, cares for his buddies. All right? You know, this guy must sweat more than any other athlete I've ever seen. He's just constantly putting fluids in his body. But you got to admire him. You know, I think he's past his prime, but Rafa Nadal, he really, really works hard. And he's had some surgeries and had to work hard to get back at it. So he's not my favorite, but I do admire his work ethic. He is a hardworking athlete. Farmer. It's interesting, when I Googled for pictures of hardworking farmers, most of them were women. You know, if you look at farming today, it's mass stuff, you know, with the big machines and stuff. But when you start looking at the people in the world who do farming, I'm sure if you go to the Philippines, you're not going to see combines. There might be one or two plantations. But for the most part, it's still manual farming in many places of the world for subsistence. She looks like she knows something about hard work. So then get involved in civilian affairs, but is seeking to serve the country. Good Marine, knows who he serves. Thank God for those Marines that were on that train in France the other day. Yeah, so you work hard, you get a reward, you get a trophy. Our Dragon Boat team got a little trophy this summer. If you didn't know that, we thank you, Dragon Boat people. Nadal looks like he wants to eat his trophy, but anyway, she's going to eat hers. And that is farming. You get the crops, you share them. You have this image. The imagery is, think about these things. This is what he said. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Here's some word pictures for you. Soldier, athlete, and farmer. Okay? Now, it's tough. No one likes boot camp. No one likes to drip the sweat and practice and practice and practice and practice as an athlete. And, you know, weeding crops, bending over all day long, it's tough. But you know what comes afterwards? You know who you're serving. You know the rewards. So keep those pictures in mind. Think about that. I don't know what kind of testing of your faith you're going through right now. I met a friend yesterday at the Welcome Back Fair, and she's suffering from very severe vertigo. I couldn't tell. She looked all right to me, but she looked very pale. It didn't look her normal self. And she said, when I lay down, it all goes crazy. So I can't lay down. And hope the Lord bless her MRI yesterday. I prayed for her, and that things will go well. So maybe you are having your test of faith. So think of a soldier, an athlete, a farmer. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's a parenting challenge. Maybe it's something at work that's really, really driving you nuts. I don't know. Sincere faith needs to be strengthened. Sincere faith needs to be tough. But most of all, sincere faith remembers Jesus. Remember Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ? God, man? Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the long-awaited one, risen from the dead. We sang about that. He rose from the dead, but how did he get dead? He had to be crucified, executed. He had to suffer tremendously. The offspring of David, the promised seed to David. Now remember, it just didn't happen. You know, David, you're going to have this one to sit on the throne forever and ever and follow, you know, boom, just like that, instant food, like a bowl of noodles. No. It took centuries before the Messiah was incarnate to the blessed virgin birth. Now, it's been a long time. It's been, 2,015 years, and we're waiting for Christ to come back. But remember, Jesus the Christ, who's risen from the dead and the offspring of David, as priest of my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. You can't, if you're thrown in prison, you just have a prison ministry. And I've entrusted this gospel to other guys, and they're not all arrested, and they're sharing. You can't bind the gospel. People have tried to do that through the purges of Christians, but the embers are there, and they raise back up, and the church continues to grow. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And so Paul had this motivation that if I do have to go to jail, and I am in jail now, I will seek to be a witness to people. I'm remembering Jesus. He was risen from the dead. And he's this promised Messiah. He fulfilled all those things, you know. And now, if God is in control, the sovereign God is in control of how he enters the world and dies on a cross, raised from the dead, he surely is in charge of my existence. And so I rest in the sovereignty of God. Knowing me knowing you, is no accident in time and space. It was planned that you and I would be friends of God and friends with one another. to encourage each other to do good works. Okay, sincere faith remembers Jesus. Sincere faith lives Jesus. Let me see if you catch this one now. This is a hard one, but I think many of you already got it and you know what I'm talking about, so it's just like preaching to the choir, so to speak. But the saying is trustworthy. This is rock solid gospel. For if we have died with him, we also live with him. Now, is he saying that if we die, I mean, if we're martyred, you know, we get our head cut off, then we live with... No, no. We die to self. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. I'll show you a little verse in a minute. But I die to self. This is what belief and repent means. You know, I quit being James as king of my life, but I'm going to let Jesus be king of my life. Yeah, I've got to make decisions, you know, who I marry, where my children go to school, what company I work for. I got to make those type of decisions, but you know, I would never do anything without approaching you first, Jesus, and talking to you about it. Because you're now head of my life, you're my king, you're my Lord. Okay, so if we died with him, we also live with him. I do life with Christ. If we endure, we will also reign with him. So if I endure this time of waiting for his return, I endure it, and I, you know what's going to happen? You and I are promised to be co-reign, to be co-rulers of the new heaven and new earth. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Now, this is a big deny. It's not, you know, we all have lapses of faith, you know, right? I should have had an opportunity to speak about Jesus and, you know, say something right, straighten this guy out or whatever, and I didn't. Forgive me, Lord. I didn't say that. But we all will have these type of things. Every time we sin knowingly, we know this isn't God's will. We don't want him to be, you know, ruling our pocketbook, ruling our eyes, ruling our heart, whatever. We deny him that. We do deny him. I'm not getting there. I'm talking about absolute denial. I know of one man who married a Muslim girl and he left the faith. And this guy had a very fruitful ministry on the University of Virginia campus, ministering to students. And he denies Christ this day. That is denial. If you deny him, Jesus will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And to some people say, "But didn't we do great things in your name?" Said, "Depart from me, I've never known you." And that's kind of scary. So those are people who think by their doing things that Christ should love them. No. My faith is in one man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who led the perfect life, who died for me, and offers me his perfection through faith in him alone. So if we endure, we will reign, but if we deny, he will also deny. If we are faithless, if our faith is little, he remains faithful. That's a comforting verse. He wants you and I to be a people of sincere faith. Remember, it's the grace of God that teaches us how to say no, to live upright, godly lives, till he returns, and in the meanwhile to be eager to do good works. God has a plan. It is to bless us, to use us on this planet, but also on the new heaven and new earth. And he is faithful, and he's committed to you and I. Okay, great verse. Let's read this together if we can, okay? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So this is Paul's cry through all his various epistles. As you know, the life I now live, I live by faith in Christ. I don't trust myself, I trust someone else, and that is the Lord Jesus. So sincere faith needs to be strengthened. You and I have good faith in Christ, but you know, we need to strengthen it. And how's that? It's going to the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Sincere faith is to be shared. It's not a solo game. Religion is not a solo activity, if you will, following Christ. I don't like the word religion. Following Christ, having a relationship with Christ, is not just to be a solo activity. It's tough. It gets tough out there, the trials we face in life, and you know that, and I know your experiences. Some of you have gone through some very, very, very testing experiences. Sincere faith keeps Jesus right in the forefront. The risen Jesus, the promised one of David, the sovereign God is accomplishing his salvation and glorious purposes through Christ. And that even includes me and all of my life experience. Sincere faith lives Jesus. I do life with him. I do not go through one day without Christ. I belong to him. Okay, sincere faith. What are we going to do about it? How sincere is your faith? I think I asked this one last week too. How will you strengthen your faith? How sincere is your child's or teenager's faith? And then how will you strengthen their faith? So I don't want it to hang up, you know, just be something theoretical. But I think if we're all honest, I want to be a little bit more sincere. I see all this list of what sincere faith is, and I'm falling short here and there. I really want to change, God. What do I do? How do I help my kids really be people of faith? I don't want them to be, you know, religious activists. I want them to really have a relationship with Christ. I want them to do life with Christ. What do I do? Well, grasp God's grace daily. What do I mean by that? You know, I am very happy for every one of you that come here on Sunday to worship God. But I can honestly tell you that every day when I pray for you, I often do that in a generical way. All the families who come to DBICC, all the brothers and sisters in the DBICC family, all that. That you will be grasping God's grace daily. That you will be having time of worshiping your God, our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, who died for you. That you will worship him daily in your home. Grasp God's grace daily. And if you and I are grasping God's grace daily, all these red seats in here will start to fill up. We cannot keep it to ourselves. We'll share with more people, and more people will come to church. I am convinced that's the way to do church growth. It's not through special programs. It's not through special missions, whatever. It's through you and I spending time with Christ. If you abide in the vine, what happens? You're going to produce fruit, period. That's your call and my call. You know, if you want to pray for James, oh, keep James in the Word. Get him, go deeper with you, Christ. May he worship you daily and not do things in his own strength. Grasp God's grace daily. And how do you do that? Living life. Oh, it's living life. I put it living light. Excuse me. L-I-F-E. My bad. Living life is one of many, many daily devotionals. If you get into this, I'm going to try this now. I've been reading through the Bible and doing other things. And about to tell you the truth, I've scratched my read through the Bible reading for this year. And I'm going to do this one. I know my wife, Bonnie, enjoys this. And by the way, it's good to see you made out of bed, Bonnie. Living Life, L-I-F-E. We have some of these copies if you'd like to pick one up. It's great family devotions as well for a man and husband and wife or just individually. Another one, BibleGateway.com. If you want to get just an electronic email, be mailed to you. Just go to BibleGateway.com. You'll see study up on the left, and you'll have a devotional theme. And they got all kinds of devotions. They got devotions for families, devotions for men, devotions for women, devotions for teenagers. And you can click on that, sign up, and they'll mail you a devotion every day. And I mean, you don't have to worry about it. And you know, maybe one or two little verses and a little commentary. BibleGateway.com. There's all kinds of ways for us to do daily devotions, if you will. But I call this grasping God's grace daily. Why? Because I need to be stronger. I need to be more sincere, because I'm not a sincere person by nature. That's one way. The other way is join a discipleship group. So if you're ladies, moms to moms, if you're the Friday Bible study. Are we doing the Saturday Bible study? Is that kind of, Mina? Is the Saturday Bible study? No, it's just to the Friday right now. Okay. If you find out these time windows are a constraint to you, you know, I can't do those two things. I got to work, James. If you want to start something up in the evening, use the church office, you need a teacher, whatever, you let me know and we'll see how God will work. God will not make it impossible for us to have other small groups. But he's behind us. Same thing with the guys, you know. If you can't make Tuesday, Friday, or Saturday, and you'd like to do something in the evening, you let me know, and we'll make it happen. Somehow, by God's grace, it will happen. What I'm getting at, if we're going to be a people of sincere faith, we need to be worshiping God daily. We need to grasp his grace daily. In his word, praying, confessing our sin, asking for a fresh filling of Holy Spirit, listening to the grace of God teach us to say no to the bad stuff and yes to the good stuff. But we also need each other. I am very grateful for the men's groups I'm involved in, and they encourage me. They keep me honest. And we're trying to have a level of confidential sharing with one another where we can encourage each other to be real men of faith and not just to play act church. I guess I've said all I want to say today. If you have more questions, again, about men's groups or women's groups, please speak to me, Mina, Sandy, Esther, or Danica, and whatever. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to close in saying thank you so much that you're the faithful one. Wow. You knew a long time ago that your suffering would produce all kinds of fruit. And who would have ever imagined that the fastest growing church on the planet of the earth is in China? Who for many centuries had no believers. Father, Hong Kong is a very special place. We're alive today. Some of us are celebrating some milestone birthdays, and we're just alive. We're not being blown up. We're not being shot at. But we're alive here on planet Earth to bring you glory and honor in Discovery Bay and beyond. And I pray, Lord, make me and make my friends people of sincere faith. And I'm convinced, Lord, we need to get in your word daily. Holy Spirit, motivate my friends to do just that. And keep me close to you, Lord. Keep me in your word, Bonnie. My children, Ruth, pray for David and Joseph to repent and come back and to grasp your grace daily. Lord, I do thank you for the Life on Life journey groups. I thank you for Martin Ray and for Paul Cooley and who helped lead these groups. And I thank you for all the men who participate in all the ways you bless us. And I pray this coming fall, continue to bless these men that we will grow and become more and more sincere in our faith. And I pray equal blessings on the Moms to Mom and the Friday Women's Bible Study. You know, other groups that are meeting, Lord, throughout DB, some are not directly related with the church, but who our sisters or brothers are involved in. And I pray blessings on these times. Again, we thank you. We thank you for being faithful. So our faith is weak, but make us strong. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.